From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Judges. On today's program, he comes to the third judge, a man named Shamgar. Only mentioned briefly in the Bible, Shamgar delivered Israel from bondage to the Philistines using the simplest of instruments, an ox goad. In beginning this message, Dr. Cairns describes the terrible conditions of Shamgar's day. It was a time of spiritual declension and much violence. Things were so bad that people were afraid to travel on the highways. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, it was the spiritual apostasy of Israel that brought them to this sad state. The same is true in our day as well. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message entitled, Little is Much When God is in It. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. The devotional for today is called Complete Safety. The text is Deuteronomy 33 and verse 12. And of Benjamin he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Yes, there is no safety like that which comes of dwelling near to God. For his best beloved, the Lord can find no surer or safer place. O Lord, let me always abide under thy shadow, close to thy wounded side. Nearer and nearer would I come to thee, my Lord, and when once specially near thee, I would abide there forever. What a covering is that which the Lord gives to his chosen! Not a fairer roof shall cover him, nor a bomb-proof casement, nor even an angel's wing, but Jehovah himself. Nothing can come at us when we are thus covered. This covering the Lord will grant us all the day long, however long the day. Lord, let me abide this day consciously beneath this canopy of love, this pavilion of sovereign power. Does the third clause mean that the Lord in his temple would dwell among the mountains of Benjamin, or that the Lord would be where Benjamin's burden should be placed? Or does it mean that we are borne upon the shoulders of the Eternal? In any case, the Lord is the support and strength of his saints. Lord, let me ever enjoy thy help, and then my arms will be sufficient for me.
Thy grace.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Now then, we're returning to the book of Judges, chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. We're reading just a few verses. Judges 3 verse 31, the last verse of the chapter. Then into chapter 4 verse 1. Then right on, we're going to turn to chapter 5 and verse 6. Judges 3, 31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Chapter 5, verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jeel, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or a spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? We finish the reading at verse 8 of chapter 5. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. It may appear at first sight that Shamgar must rank very low in the affairs of the kingdom of God, because after all, his entire biography is contained in one single verse of Scripture. Sandwiched between the two more famous characters of Ehud and Deborah, Shamgar would be very, very easily overlooked. But the more I consider this man, the more I am convinced that that would be a great mistake. The very fact that he was chosen of God at all to be a judge and a deliverer of Israel makes this man a man of no little importance. And though he only gets a single verse of biography in Scripture, yet that in itself, I think, is a mark of tremendous respect. You think of the number of people who have lived and they have never made it to the pages of Scripture. You think of the number of people who have served God in Israel, did great exploits, and we don't have any biographical information. To have one verse given him by the Holy Ghost in this inspired volume means far more than if he had had entire books written about him by uninspired pen men. You see, it's much better to have your name written by the Lord in his book than written by men in their books. When I read this, I thought of a very important production that they have in the United Kingdom. It is the Book of the Aristocracy. It's called Burke's Peerage. To have your name there, my, that marks you as the real thing. But you know, I'd rather have my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'd rather have my name written by the hand of God, be overlooked by the world, dismissed by men, than to be left out by God and celebrated by the ungodly. Shamgar then was no inconsequential character. This little biography of this man shows us that he was a man of action. And as we'll see as we proceed, a man of very decisive action at that. In a time when the Philistines had well nigh made it impossible for any Israelite to stand against them or to pose any threat to their power over the land, Shamgar rose up. The only thing that he had to hand was the implement of his trade. He had an ox goad. Now, it would not be a nice way to die in the end of an ox goad. But having said that, really, it was laughable that a herdsman with an ox goad would stand up against one of the mightiest fighting forces of the ancient world. But he did so. And though the weapon wasn't much, the arm that wielded that weapon was energized and enabled by the mighty power of God, with the result that Shamgar slew 600 Philistines and obtained a glorious victory. Shamgar's victory reminds me of the words of an old gospel song. Every time I think of this song, I think of a black American singer from South Bend, Indiana, by the name of Bertha Norman. I wish I had Bertha here tonight just to get her to sing it. Not that the rest of you singers can't sing. You can sing very nicely, and I enjoy to hear you sing. But this was the first person I ever heard sing the song, and she was a wonderful singer with a wonderful spirit. She sang little as much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. For me, that sums up the entire story of Shamgar. And it gives me, from this little biography, gives me from God a message of hope for the day in which we serve the Lord. Consider first and foremost the era in which Shamgar served. We learn from chapter 4, verse 1, that it was a day of national declension and therefore of divine judgment. We read the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. What fateful words, when Ehud was dead. Again, let me note what I have done in past weeks. The power of the influence of a man who really knows his God. Ehud was only one man, but while he lived, he could exert such a power over Israel that he could hold in check the innate forces of rebellion that were in that people. God give us men who have such a spiritual power about them that they can stand victoriously against the natural forces of declension that are in the nation and in the church. But Ehud was dead. And as had happened in prior generations, as for instance when Joshua died, the people fell into sin. They forgot the blessings of God. They turned their back on the God who gave those blessings. They ran after wickedness. The land was polluted. The judgment of God fell upon the nation. Jeremiah the prophet lamented the same thing in his day. He said, "The land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. Both the prophet and the priest are profane, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." What Judges 4 and 1 tells us, and what Jeremiah 23 and 10 tells us, is of a day of national sin, declension and apostasy. And in that kind of a day, Shamgar was raised up to serve the Lord. That's a tremendous challenge. Anybody can stand for God in a day of a sweeping revival. Doesn't take much courage. Now, I'm not for a moment denigrating those who stand in revival. I would to God we had the privilege of standing in revival. But the point I'm making is it doesn't take a lot of courage to be one of God's people standing up when there is a mighty sweeping movement of the Holy Ghost and everybody seems to be flocking to the standard. But to be a lonely figure, a Shamgar with nothing but an ox goad in your hand and the word of God burning in your heart and the love for the Savior enlightening your very mind. To be a Shamgar called to serve Jehovah in a day when nobody wanted to hear. In a day when the hearts of the people were running after wickedness. I tell you, that is a great challenge to any man's courage and any man's faith. That was the day in which Shamgar was called. That's the day in which we are called. In many ways, I believe it's one very good reason why the Lord puts in the biography of a Shamgar. Not just an Othniel, a great commander of troops. Not just an Ehud, another commander of troops, but a Shamgar who gets just a few lines, seems to be an individual. He had no armies following in his train, but he was called to serve. The need of this day is for Christians. Little, insignificant, useless, as the world would determine them, who will have the burden in a day of evil, of apostasy and declension, to say, I have God's word burning in my bones. I have the burden of the glory of the Lord constantly in my heart. By the grace of God, I must serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a day of declension. Very like our day, it was a day of great violence, so that the people were afraid to walk the highways. We read that in chapter 5 and verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jeel, the highways were unoccupied. The travelers walked through byways. Man, you would think that that was a comment on modern American cities. A day of violence. And while I don't for a moment want to be simplistic, and I don't want just to ignore whatever evidence there is that social and economic deprivation can lead to violence and all gang warfare and drugs and all the rest of it, yet at the end of the day, I believe that the greatest contributory factor to the violent society in which we live is the declension in the spiritual and moral fiber of the nation. I resent it as the theory of a bunch of atheistic sociologists who know nothing of reality to try to say that because people are poor, they're bound to be violent. I don't believe it. I resent it because I was born poor, and I am not ashamed of that. Not particularly proud of it, but I'm not ashamed of it. And I lived among poor people. Joan and I often talk, and even after 24 years of marriage. I hope you have as good a record. We often talk and say, you know, looking back to when we were kids, with six children, in a little house with two bedrooms, none of the mod cons and all the wonderful inventions that have come along later. No garden in the front, no garden in the back. Little money, hard times. You know, we were deprived in our childhood. The only thing is that nobody ever thought to tell us. And we had a wonderful time. And that's why, personally, I resent the theories of these ungodly rascals who have got to cover up the real reason for what's going wrong today. They and their ilk have filled the hearts and the minds of American and British youth with every foul and filthy thing. And then they blame their poverty as the cause of their violence. They blame the housing as the cause of their violence. Now, I am not at all, and I think if you look at all at some of the conditions in which some of those people live, you will see that it is not a very desirable situation in which to live. And I'm not for a moment saying that it's not something that needs to be changed, but I am saying you can take a wild beast out of a filthy cage, and you can put him in a beautiful park. He'll be a wild beast still. And the real trouble is the moral, the spiritual, the religious apostasy and declension of our day that has caused this society where people can hardly even walk the streets.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.